G'day everyone, it is Friday, April 5, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And we are at Raw Randwick this morning. It is wet, but it is not exactly the downpour, Noah's Ark, not necessary just yet. But we'll obviously see how the day transpires. We're going to speak to the track manager soon, Michael Wood here at Randwick. Day one of the championships, one of the great cards in racing here tomorrow, and hopefully all will be sweet. Although I'm sure today, throughout the day, that track will start to just get soggier and soggier, but we just don't want those forecast 100 mils, and tomorrow it's a very big range, actually, the forecast, 6 to 50 mils is forecast. So we'll see how it all transpires. But great to be here this morning. Great games of footy last night, the NRL. And it was 34-32, the Storm over the Brisbane Broncos. And in the AFL, as gather round started, Melbourne beat Adelaide. Adelaide 0-4 by 15 points, the margin. And joining us this morning, filling in for Pup over there at the IPL, the great Josh Reynolds. And LeBron James is here as well. Great to see him. Laurie Daly, how are you, Loz?
Good, boys. You've got to get with the times, the way you dress, after looking at you two. But yeah, no, I've come as an NBA basketballer today. A bit like the players when they dress up before their last training run of the before the game, you know, their captain's run. So I feel a little bit NBA-ish today, but no, I'm cool with the way I look. What about yourselves?
Oh, hey, Grubby.
You need to look at yourselves in the mirror.
Gee, Mitter, you just went bang straight between the eyes there with Loz. Straight into you.
Oh, that's good. That's
you like
good.
It?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Well, as I said, Josh, you've got to stay young, mate. I keep saying that on this program. You've got to dress young, you feel young. Mate, the made-up bet over there, he's got the old clobber on this morning.
Clobber.
Well, to give context, you've got the long, short,
long
trackies.
Nikes, mate.
Yeah, yep. The Nikes, so sponsored. But they're, yeah, the shorts, trackies, but very long ones, aren't
yeah.
they, Josh?
It's, so it's, you either say, are they long shorts or short longs? I'm not too sure.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, he looks comfortable.
Mate,
that's the key.
Comfy. Very comfortable.
Very comfy in the tap house. I'll tell you what, boys, I've been in a couple of different states in the tap house.
Better than trackside at Randwick.
Trackside at Randwick. I've been in a tap house.
Mm-hmm.
Great venue. Absolute carry on. Good times.
Well, this tap house, I'm sure, will be revved up tomorrow. Mm. But it doesn't seem to be the amount of rain we're expecting. So fingers crossed that might be the case in the next 24 hours. But we're talking to the track manager after 6 o'clock. But as it stands at the moment, I think it's looking okay. But obviously, it'll all depend on how much rain they get in the next 24 hours.
At one stage last night, and I'm north of the bridge, it was hammering down.
Mm.
Absolutely hammering down. But whether they got it here, and at the moment, she's not too bad, Loz. So.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Unless they received a huge amount of rain last night, it looks pretty good. But when you look at the surface and look at the water on top, there doesn't seem to be too many puddles around. No. So I'm suggesting that's a good sign.
We'd still suggest you probably do your wet track four.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's going to be a good four. Far from it. But I was expecting it to be possibly heavy today. But I don't know. It all depends how much rain they got overnight, I suppose, because the rain is coming today.
Wild game of footy last night, fellas. I was just reading some quotes from Craig Bellamy after the match there last night. 34-32. Bellamy said it was one of the strangest games he's ever seen or been involved in. Says he imagines, you know, the crowd and the people at home would have enjoyed it with the lead changing hands as much as it did. And he said they're probably a bit disappointed, especially with the first half, but they didn't take much advantage of that, he said, as they should have in the first half. The Broncos took a narrow lead. What was it, 18-16 at halftime? But the big story out of the game will be Adam Reynolds suffering a hamstring injury there just before halftime. But in the end, the Broncos will probably be disappointed. They lit a couple of tries in late, and that saw the Storm over the line. What'd you make of it all, Josh? It was a wild game, wasn't it?
It was an absolute shootout. And to be quite honest, boys, the Broncos should have won it, I feel. They had two chances, and they blew it. I think it was... They made a break. Sorry, Chris Saylor caught the ball on the Melbourne's try line, and Katoni Staggs threw that ball to Billy Walters. They had a whole set.
Oh,
like
yeah.
They would have like They literally would have been a chance there. And then that last pass from Cobbo, I think it was, yeah, to Jesse Arthur.
Jesse Arthur's.
He ices that every day. So, yeah, I see Munster get interviewed after the game and they said, "Hey, you keen to get in the sheds?" He goes, "Nah, I've got my gear. I'm not going in the sheds. I don't want to see Bellamy." So, yeah, look, it's two of the big heavyweights going up against each other. And I didn't expect that. I thought it would have been a bit tighter defensively. But I think this game for me, boys, just shows how far the Broncos have come. To be losing their three best players, Adam Reynolds, started fairly well in the game. But Reece Bowles, Haas, and then Reynolds, and just to lose like that, gee, they're a side now, Loz.
Yeah, no, they're a very good side, taking a lot of confidence from their grand final appearance last year. I think it was one case of Melbourne expecting to win, just turning up and not doing the hard yards, and Brisbane going down there with a real focus to change that hoodoo that Melbourne have against them. So that's the way I read it last night. I think that they were very well prepared, and Melbourne, just I don't think they were as hungry as what Brisbane were, and you could tell in the early stages. But Brisbane are a very dangerous attacking team. They've got points in them, but they concede plenty, and that was the difference between this year and last year. The fact that you want to be a really good side if you're conceding 32 and expecting to win, or 34 and expecting to win. I know you can, and Brisbane at full strength can do that. And they nearly got away with it last night, but you don't want to be doing that every week. So defensively, they have to tighten up. I'm still unsure with the Melbourne Storm. I still think they try hard, and I don't know, but there's something about their attack. But you look at 34 points and say, well, what is wrong with that? And there's nothing wrong with scoring 34, but at times, to me, it just doesn't seem as fluent as some of the other teams in the comp.
I actually know what you mean when you say that, Loz. Do you know what I actually find it is? And I love, I'm not having a crack at the boys here, I love Munster and I love Hughes, but they're not natural ball players. They're not guys where you look at Nathan Cleary and a couple of the games, he's mesmerised with his squareness, tempo. I think they're more runners. Well, Jerome is a natural fullback, and he's gone into a halfback. And Munster's Munster. He just does his thing. Yeah. So I think that's where they possibly look a little bit clunky. They've got really good individuals who are going to score tries. But I know what you mean. I watch them sometimes, and I'm like, how are they scoring? But then they come up with that nice play. I'm not sure who it was, but the back row pops it up to Papenhuyzen across the face try. They come up with some silky plays, but I do understand when you say they just don't look as fluent as some of the great attacking teams.
Just on the text line, a few people saying that the Bureau of Meteorology said there's already been 98 mils of rain at Randwick. So
really?
Check that. Yeah, and we all live, Loz and I live north of the bridge, so we wouldn't have anticipated that. But
if you look outside there on the surface,
on
that bitumen, what are you thinking?
Not 98 mils, that's for sure.
No.
That's 4 inches of rain. So,
Thinking great drainage at the Ramic race course.
We'll have the exact figure from Michael Wood in about half an hour's time. So, to get the latest on what's going on here. What about some moments from Ezra Mam last night? There were a couple of times I was in the first half. Katoa's try, I thought, gee, defensively, that was too easy. But then, seriously, some of the plays he pulled off. Obviously, the try, which...
He's had the bounce of the ball, though, didn't he? With those kicks. I made every bounce. Was just falling into the Broncos' hands.
You've got to be there, though, don't you, Loz?
And that's what Ezra Mann does, too. Does really well. Like that try where Warbrick just stood back and watched it bounce, where Billy Walters in the second half kicked it from, I think it was inside his 30. He had a shocker last night, Warbrick. He had a shocker. And Craig Bellamy would rip into him today.
When I watch Warbrick play,
he looks nervous or something.
But then I feel when he scores, he's got a bit of carry on. I think him and Bellamy would clash. Because last night, he's eating a burger after he scored or something. I don't know what he was doing. And he's got some of their moments in him.
Yeah.
And he's got a couple, he has got a couple of reads in him that are 50-50. The Broncos were coming out of yardage. Sailor caught it. Fizzes it to the winger. Warbrick could have easily sort of double D'd it. He come in on the centre and you can see him go, So I think there'd be some very interesting conversations between those two. A guy I want to speak about, boys, what about Benjamin Takura? How big is he?
Massive man. And scored a try on debut.
He looks like he wants to run and he wants to hurt people. He's got Nelson written all over him.
Yeah, he has. I suppose the biggest challenge with him will be his lateral movements. Mm-hmm. All big blokes at some stage get found out laterally. And obviously you see a lot more live than what you do on TV. But with a big young man like him, he's going to have to stay very agile on his feet. Because he'll carry the ball strongly, but it's the other side of the game that he'll have to work on, because otherwise he'll get found out. Because all those big guys, at times, they're very a little bit cumbersome, a bit slow and hard to work across the ground. They're all right moving up and back, but it's across the ground where they get found out. And, you know, sides, when they get in behind the ruck or turn someone in behind when you're supposed to be closing down the space, and then you've got to stop and turn and go back the other way, that's where the big fellas usually tend to struggle. But like carrying the ball last night for a 19-year-old and such a big boy, he's outstanding.
Well, this is a turn up on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald today under the headline, Dragons open talks with Hunt for 2026 extension. So this story from Michael Chemis, and well, Shane Flanagan spoke yesterday. Naturally, he was asked about the Zach Lomax situation and was frustrated with the question in particular as to whether Lomax... Well, the whole situation has displayed a double standard, considering that Ben Hunt wasn't given permission to move elsewhere. And Flanagan said that Ben's got nothing to do with Zach Lomax, that he wants to be there and he wants to see out his contract, and then said he might go further. And was adamant as well that they're completely different issues, the Lomax and Hunt situations. But he said might go further. And as far as the further is concerned, Chemis is reporting in the Herald that... some informal talks have started, and he would be 36 in 2026. But you look at him, he looks like the bloke that could easily go in a couple of years.
Well, it's like Daly Cherry Evans. As long as they're fit and healthy, they can continue to go with all the sports science that's around at the moment. And if they're playing well, we see teams would give an arm and a leg for a Daly Cherry Evans, a Ben Hunt, Adam Reynolds, these experienced halves. They're so hard to get. Unless you've got a really good one in your system, these experienced halves, they can continue to play. And the other thing about halves these days, and Grubby would be able to comment on this more than what I would. I've been out of the game for a long period of time. But with halves today, they're not getting as targeted as what they used to. They're more protected than they've ever been in the game. So you go close to the line, and... I know when we were playing, like if a halfback came close to the line, you're telling your players to dig into him, like really go at him. Whereas you can't do that anymore. Same with kicking. Like if you were kicking, mate, you get near him, go through with it. But these days you can't because there's a penalty. So the halves can play. I think they're looking after their body a lot better during a game.
Yeah, you're definitely right, Loz. They're definitely a lot more protected now, and there's a lot more emphasis on... Even when I watch the commentary, you always, if something happens to a half, it's always, oh well, like we can't do that. And but so from playing last year also, Loz, and sort of knowing defensive systems and stuff, there's so much work that happens from the inside now, from the middles and from the back rowers, that halves, they shouldn't have to really make many one-on-one tackles.
Yeah.
They should always be sort of getting chopped from the inside, and the half just got to sort of finish it off. Whereas you're right, back in the day, like, sort of, the one thing you first done was trying to get to a spot. When I say a spot, I mean the 7, 9, or 6, because they're necessarily the smaller guys, and that's how you try and generate a quick play the ball speed. But I just feel, you're right, like, it doesn't really happen anymore. And there'd be clubs out there that would take, I think, Cherry Evans at 37, 38 over, like, you know, possibly bringing a young guy in. You know, some clubs have tried, and it just haven't worked, and they chop and change, and... Then at Cherry Evans, they just seem to, and even Ben Hunt. But you know the thing is, boys, like, there's the, he plays in a bit of a dinner suit now. These blokes don't. They still take the line on, drift across for it. Ben Hunt's kicking, kick chasing, like, so it has to be the sports science, Loz, because, well, I don't know what happened to me, but sports science didn't work, that's for sure.
On Hunt, though, it's amazing how... You know, in such a short space of time. I mean, he was going home. He wanted to go home to Queensland. Mm. Agitated all year. And, you know, to Ben Hunt's credit, he was always very honest when he was asked about it, which felt like every week last year.
Yeah, but circumstances changed too. You don't know what's going on inside the four walls at home either. Mm. You don't know what your family circumstances are at a particular moment in time. But the other thing I want to give Ben Hunt credit for, and this is extremely difficult to do, you're playing halfback regularly for your club, but then it comes to the middle of the season in the toughest game we have to offer, and they throw him in as a nine, and he plays exceptionally well. I don't know how he does that, because that's one of the great efforts of all time, to be able to play halfback and then go into an Origin game.
And starts over Harry Grant.
Yeah.
Like a proper nine.
Yeah.
That's how much trust and faith.
Grant was great last night, and he's
unreal.
Well, he's the best nine in the game.
Oh, he is. But,
yeah.
But like, they must, like, that's how much Queensland have a rap on him.
Yeah.
And how good of a job he's done for him to go from in the halves. Yeah. And it's hard, Laws, as you said, like, it's so different defensively. So different. Oh. Like, you've literally...
You can be gassed in 5 minutes defending as a hooker.
Five. try two. But yeah, no, it's... I take my help to him. But I think Chemis has got a point, boys. How's it different? Like, if for Flanagan to say that, it's a totally different situation.
It was just posed to him. It wasn't necessarily people saying that it was double standards.
Double standards, sorry. Right, yeah, like, it's sort of... Well,
it's hard to understand.
Hunt definitely wanted to leave. He 100% wanted to leave, and Lomac wants to leave, and one's been let go, and one hasn't. So.
I think the difference is that, like from an outside looking in, now I think that Ben Hunt wants to stay.
Mm.
I think they've been able to convince him that...
Well, the Flanagan regime was bought into big time, obviously.
Yeah, and the fact now that he goes, you know what? I think the Dragons might have some success, and I want to stay here. So, as I said, things change pretty quickly in this game. 2 months, 3 months, 1 day, 2 days.
A week.
Week.
Storm Debbage, back page, the Brisbane perspective on the back page of the Courier Mail. Oh no, Reno, another injury blow for skipper in Brave Broncos loss. And also back page of the Daily Telegraph. Mad as Dell, NRL legend, blast Dragons over Sun snub. So Wendell has got on the front foot in regards to his son Tristan's exit from the Dragons and got stuck into the club as well, and pointing to other players that they've left, juniors in particular. But all credit to Tristan Saley getting his chance with Reece Walsh going down. He's really making the most of it, Joshy.
And you know what I like, Mido? He's had opportunities to go overseas, but he sort of backed himself. He knows Reece Walsh is there, but obviously knows he'll probably get some game time during Origin period just to work on his game, and he's at a really good club. So I really take my hat off to him, and he's had a couple of really good games. He's been really, really solid. But yeah, interesting comments from Dell. I still thought he was a Dragons man. Like, every time I sort of hear him on the radio or... Well, not he's always sort of back in the Dragons, but there's obviously something behind what happened to his son at the Dragons. But, for Saylor himself at the Broncos, I think he's been a great loss. He's very elusive. He's pretty, you not compare him to Reece Walsh, but he's a similar sort of player, popping up fast out the back of those plays, really safe under the high ball.
Yeah, I think he is, and I think there'll be an opportunity maybe at another club if he wants to take it. Definitely over in the English Super League, they'd be lining up to try and get him, but depends how long he wants to stay a deputy for. Because when Reece Walsh is back, he walks straight back into the team, and then you've got to try and find a position on the bench for Tristan. But if he doesn't, and you're running around in reserve grade, and you know that you should be playing in the NRL, I think that would wear thin at some stage. Surely. But I think that he's done a really good job every time he's been called up by the Brisbane Broncos, and it's good to see.
Give us a call, 1353 53 on the text line, 0419 767 272. We've got some Premier League in progress this morning at Anfield. Liverpool 1-0 up against hapless Sheffield United. Darwin Núñez, the goal scorer after 17 minutes. And Chelsea and Manchester United to kick off in 5 minutes' time. And the markets with Tab, Chelsea are $1.75 at home at Stamford Bridge. United $3.80, and the draw paying $4.25 for that one. And we'll speak to Mossy, of course, later this morning and go through all the news in the week's football. And on the back page, I'm seeing on the Herald today as well, Olympic snub to not damage young gun. And we'll ask Mossy about this story about 18-year-old Nestori Irinkunda, who's, of course, off to Bayern Munich. He only scored a hat-trick last week for Adelaide United in the A-League. He's been left out of the under-23 Asian Cup squad for welfare reasons. So We'll ask Mossy all about that. Great to have Joshy Reynolds in with us this morning. We are here at Royal Randwick ahead of day one of the championships. Big time on weather watch, and a lot of people texting in saying there's been 100 mils of rain at Randwick, and I've just checked where you've got that information from. When you type in Randwick with the Bureau of Meteorology, it uses the weather station Observatory Hill. So that's 4.7 k's away from here, where it is saying there's been 100 mils of rain since 9 a.m. yesterday. But, you know, whether that's all fallen here, Michael Wood's going to tell us in about 10 minutes' time. So stay tuned for that. We'll get the latest track information as we're on Weather Watch for day one of the championships. Your multi-laws won't be far away. Confidence levels?
High.
Good.
High.
In fact, it is open. So why don't you just
let
tell
me
us
share it with our listeners?
Share it with us all.
This is what we're going to do. We are going in the TJ Smith. All right? Group one. Group one, Loz. We're going race 7, number 5, aft cabin to run top 4. All right? Thoughts?
Ah, one of many chances, top 4.
Most definitely.
Sure.
Most definitely. There wasn't a high degree of confidence there, but well, anyway, I'll take that as a...
prove it on heavy track, couple of wins on a heavy track, Loz. So.
Yeah, very much so, very much so.
You obviously knew that, Loz, looked into it with the heavy track.
Well, what happened to it in the Galaxy? Can't remember.
Chopped out.
Right, okay. Whether you read the stewards report. I don't know.
Then we're going to the Derby. All right.
Okay.
And
you're a feature race specialist.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's exactly right. So I'm going to go back to back. So Zardozi.
Ah, the filly.
Yep. Jay Carr on board. So big day for Godolphin. Mm. So Zardozi to win. So I'm going aft cabin, top 4, Zardozi to win. And if you'd like to be a part of that BSB multi this morning, it's paying $11.
$11. Aft cabin, top 4 in the TJ. Zardozi, the lone filly in the Derby, taking on the boys to win. Godolphin to get Loz over the line. $11. Tab app, tab website, click on sports and today's offers. There you'll see it. The Big Sports Breakfast Best. It's just above Grubb's Guarantee as well.
What is the Grubby Guarantee?
This week?
Yeah.
So the Grubb's Guarantee this week, and I'm trying to get off the mark. I'm 0-4, Loz. It is Ethan Strange or Sean Lane to score in the first 60 minutes into Para 1-12.
Against Loz's Raiders.
Under 12, mate.
Yeah, I think it'll be very close.
Yeah, Canberra.
Right. I just don't know if Para lose two games against two teams that they probably think they should beat.
Oof.
Look, and that's no offence to Canberra. I just feel they've
I think there'll be a bit of offence taken here.
I love that. No offence. No offence, but it is.
Do you find it's a hard game to sort of split? Or you're confident with the green machine? Without your Raiders?
No, I'm never confident. Never confident going into any game with the Raiders because it's always a hard watching. I've told the boys in my WhatsApp group, in our punters club, whenever they throw the Raiders in, into a multi, I say, boy, this is going to be a boys, this is going to be a sweat. And they did it. What game was it last year, Mido? When it went right down to the wire, and we were home with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah,
we were
Dragons up by, in Canberra.
Yeah,
and it was the last leg of our punters club multi.
Someone threw an intercept with a minute to go.
Jack.
Oh. Yeah, it might have been Jack. Yeah.
Jack White.
Oh, mate.
The Dragons had a play right on full time to win the game.
Yeah.
And luckily,
a tough watch.
I think he didn't pass out the back, and it looked like they had a play.
They had
the
numbers,
back, and he held it and got tackled.
Yeah, they could have won, but anyway, they didn't. But no, the Raiders, I think they'll have to bounce back after. I reckon Ricky might have given him a bit of a spray this weekend. He wasn't happy.
Lots of feedback early on the multi.
Oh, really? Yeah, share it with me.
Okay, nice, Loz, very confident.
Don't butter me up first. I know. It's the old trick with the journos in a press conference or when they ask you the nice question. And you know, once they start with the nice question, you know the tough ones are coming. So just lay it on the line.
I will say it was a very slow, thought out and measured then. You kept us on edge.
Yeah, well.
Is that because you're very confident and you just want to make sure everyone knows exactly why you picked it and... Yeah. The reason, the rain, the 100 mils.
Yeah, well, I've done the form, Josh. I've assessed the form. I've taken conditions into account, which you have to do in this game. But it's a tough game.
A lot of people just texting through saying fixed odds betting not available. I'm sure it's that time of the morning when the system... Oh, seriously.
The system reboot.
It has a reboot. Mm. So just check in, say, 3-4 minutes and it should be back up and running.
Well, hopefully the Dick Meister is up and running.
Vagary of the system, unfortunately. I think Ralph Wiggum's text in here. I'm just going to sit in the corner and eat crayons now. I don't know what that's got to do with, but that's on the text line. Did Loz say his confidence was high, or did he say he was high when he picked the multi, says Craig from Tamworth?
No, I like these horses tomorrow.
Yeah, could he answer his question?
Oh, yeah. I don't know, Craig, to be perfectly honest, mate. I don't know what I take some mornings.
You just thought it was a glass of wine.
I just thought it was a coffee that I had.
According to the Australian Turf Club website, Randwick has had 48 mils since 9 a.m. yesterday. Yeah, cheers, Pete.
Go. There you go.
So I would
they
say...
They wouldn't have had 100. No way in the world.
P.S. Heaven Bound in the Adrian Knox is the bet of the day. Major Smokey. Another L for Loz. Give up, bloke. FFS. Ouch.
What's FFS?
Don't worry, Loz.
You don't want to...
Oh, right. I thought it might have been fire service or something.
we'll speak.
Put the fire out.
They're going to need to put you out because you're going to be on fire tomorrow.
Shortly. Fellas, the big story last night, though, Adam Reynolds going forward, pinged a hamstring there just before half time. So, let's face it, big blow for the Bronx, obviously.
Could have been bigger. Could have been a knee injury. Mm. Could have been an ACL. And I think everyone feared that at half time when they saw the vision. Some in the dressing shed.
Some of his kicking in the first half was outstanding, wasn't it?
Oh, he was amazing. The hole that he put... who was the right edge back row? Ricky. That was a wonderful play. Great deception with his hands and squaring up at the line. That's as good a ball playing as you see for a while.
Unbelievable. And that's the thing. This is going to be the thing, boys, I think, with Adam Reynolds. You know, he's re-signed and you never question what he's got. Because that kick off the left foot on the run. If you watch it closely, the way he dropped that ball, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because he actually hit it at the top of the ball to make it to make it roll off the left foot.
And he did.
It was just a great kick. Yeah. And, they're a different team without him. They took on... Who'd they take on without him recently? The Panthers. Jock Madden stood in, and Jock's a good player, but... He just adds a whole new dimension. But moving forward, boys, I've got a question. Do you think the Broncos, with all these little injuries he's getting, are second-guessing their decision to re-sign him?
No, I wouldn't be.
You wouldn't be, man?
No. Because I think if they're going to win a premiership, it's with Adam Reynolds in the next 2 years. And while you've got Reece Walsh, Ezra Mann, Cobbo, Staggs in that back line, you just need someone who's got that bit of control. If Adam Reynolds is there, if Adam Reynolds is there and he's fit and firing and they've got the rest of their team to choose from, I still think they're a chance on their day. Mm.
Just as long as he's fit.
Mm. That's all it is, isn't it?
When it comes to the crunch, hey, Joshy? Mm. Early goal for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Connor Gallagher after 4 minutes, 1-0 there this morning. And the other games just about at half time. Liverpool 1-0 up against Sheffield United. But here we are at Royal Randwick, day one of the championships tomorrow. Bring it on. And joining us is the track manager, who I'm sure is sick of being asked about the weather, but we're going to ask him anyway because it's what we all want to know about. Michael Wood, how are you, mate?
Yeah, very well, lads. How are you?
Very well. Okay, the state of play. Where are we at with how much rain we've had and the track as it stands at the moment?
Yeah, not as much, I guess, as probably what the bomb site's saying. It does take off from Observatory Hill, but we're currently sitting at 48 mils. So
since 9 a.m. yesterday.
Since 9 a.m. yesterday. Okay. So, That's probably around what was expected, I suppose. But what they've sort of done now with the forecast is just had showers right through today, and then sort of hopefully pulling up by about 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So that'll be the key, really.
Geez, that'd be a great result if you can pull up before tomorrow morning, because if it does, and depending on, obviously, the downpour today, but if it does, more than likely, you'll be up and racing. And
yeah, well, that's it. That's my expectation. The track will be heavy, and that's just, you know, with those sort of numbers of rainfall, for sure. Yeah. But the key is that we're racing in sunshine and not showers throughout the day. You know, we saw a hard day there at Gosford yesterday. That rainfall on the day is the killer. But, yeah, my expectation is that we'll be racing. We can see our moisture sensors all the way around the track, and you can see the moisture's being pulled through the profile. So that's pleasing. And really, the heavier the rainfall, the better for me. It's the harder it comes down, the more weight of the water, and that just pushes through the profile. So if we can get a heavy downpour even around midnight, then we're on with that.
Mick, I can only imagine your preparation must change, obviously, when it rains this much. What things you got to put in place when it's, you know, a good fall compared to a heavy track coming, especially a big day? There's going to be a lot of people in here.
Yeah, it's tough because normally we do, all of our preparation is pretty well done going into today, but you do the finishing touches, you know, tidy up lawns. But track-wise, you know, we'd normally cut the track today or even yesterday. Had to pull all that up by sort of Wednesday with the forecast. And then just the application of different products that we put out on the track as well. We put a different product out there yesterday with the rainfall coming. So, yeah, we alter things, obviously. No need to look at irrigation this week, which is good. But, it's a challenge, but I guess that's what the job is, isn't it?
So have you rated the track yet, or you do that this morning?
No, we'll do that at 7 a.m.
Okay.
That's just our standard sort of setup going into a meeting. And to be fair, while it's raining on top of you, it's hard to rate a track anyway. Because, it's always going to feel wet, isn't it? So, we'll do it at 7 o'clock, and then we'll have another walk around about 2 o'clock this afternoon and just see how it's fared throughout the day. And then the next inspection will be at 5:30 tomorrow morning.
Okay. So, but just reiterating, based on the rain we've had and what you're seeing with all your instruments, you expect us, as of right now, 25 past 6 this morning, that we will be racing tomorrow.
That's my plan. Yeah, for sure. I did go out and have a quick walk just before, walked on at the 300 and sort of walked down to the turn. And whilst it felt wet, there's still a good base there to that track, which is, that's sort of the main thing. There's no sort of squelch under my feet. So, that's pleasing coming in this morning.
Yeah. And is the key, you mentioned no rain tomorrow, is it all about the visibility rather than the track tomorrow, even if you get a lot of rain? And it stops at 9 o'clock?
Yeah, I mean, they just deteriorate so much more when the horses are getting into it, and then you're getting rainfall on top into those divots. Then it becomes a visibility issue, and it becomes
shifting.
And then it's obviously, you know, they're doing more damage to the track because it's getting wet as soon as you're breaking that surface. Whereas if we're breaking the surface and we've got sunshine, it'll actually dry rather than deteriorate.
Yeah.
Many phone calls, trainers.
Phone calls, texts, all the above. But that's,
50-50 split. Let's race. Let's call it off.
Yeah, it's just another one of those. You probably can't win. But our intention is to race. You know, it's a big time for the club, big day for the club tomorrow, and then you head into Queen Elizabeth next week. So, we'll be giving it every chance. I'm just hopeful that it pulls up and stops running.
How much can a racetrack take in terms of mill? Like, up to, in the next 24 hours?
Oh, you know, it gets to a point where, the track is, it's at field capacity, it's called. So it basically means that it can't handle any more water. But if you've got adequate drainage and it's continuing to work, the track will continue to drain. So, you sort of get to a point where it doesn't really matter if it's 50 or 100. Once it's at field capacity and draining, well, then that's where it's at. It's, you know, if we're racing today, different story, because it's raining on top of them again.
Yeah.
But and also, it's not getting that chance to get away. Whereas that's why I'm saying if it pulls up sort of overnight and we're into clear conditions, the track will be fine.
Mm. It'll be a big day tomorrow, regardless of the weather. Do you feel the pressure, mate? It's a big group one. It's a bit of rain. Everyone's going to be watching more eyes on compared to a usual Saturday. Do you feel it, or it's just work as usual for you?
Oh, I've had some bad ones so far, but I've had good ones as well. So, look, a little bit, but no, it's sort of just it's the job at the moment. And I don't really, don't really feel the pressure. I think there's always a bit of pressure with any meeting at Randwick. Everyone's got that expectation that it's going to be great and it's going to be at its best. So, it's a little bit of pressure, but not too much.
And what is it? We haven't raced here for 3 weeks, is that right?
3 weeks at Rosehill, yeah. So it's had a good break. The track's in great order. Would have been nice to kick off a three-week, you know, session at Randwick on a good track, but it's not to be, That's all good.
And you said sunshine you're expecting tomorrow at a point.
Yeah, well, they're saying sunny breaks in the afternoon.
Okay.
Sort of pretty much from 9, 10 a.m. They're saying sunny breaks, so let's run with that.
Yeah. Do you go off what they say, like the bomb, or have your own system?
We have our own forecaster, but essentially I guess they all pull from similar models, you know, from the Bureau and then their own. So I suppose our one just gives a bit more of a finite when they think rain will finish or sunlight hours and that sort of thing. So they're tending to say around 300 minutes, so like 5 hours of sunshine throughout tomorrow. So
wow.
Do you like anything?
He's a desperate Mike.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know in the morning once I walk the track.
You're at the track. You got to ask.
Absolutely.
Never know the information you can get. If you don't, never know. Don't ask. You don't get, Josh.
You might give me your number tomorrow morning. You ring me if you want, mate. Just for a friendly chat about
you
the
must
track.
Have something. Come on. He's holding back. He's withholding information.
Too busy looking at weather apps. at weather apps to ask anyone. But I mean, it's some of the fields, and there's good wet weather horses there too. Yeah. You know, Imperatrix on a heavy goes all right. Well, I Wish I Win, did it previously.
Geez, I'm looking forward to seeing her run tomorrow.
Oh, Imperatrix.
Yeah, I really am.
Yep. Because a lot of people say until she ticks the box here, how good is she?
So it's
great to see her here in Sydney. And, I mean, what a race. I mean, the whole card's just unreal. And, mate, I love your glass half full approach. Let's stick with
you
that.
Think you have to be, don't you?
For sure. Gosh, Chelsea have scored again. Cole Palmer with the goals. So Chelsea 2-0 up against Manchester United at Stamford Bridge. And still pretty early days. 21 minutes gone in that game. At Anfield, Liverpool leading Sheffield United 1-0. Courtesy of a goal after 17 minutes for Darwin Núñez. Last night, the Aussie women won again in Bangladesh. They've dominated that series. The T20 series finishes 3-0 to the Aussies. They posted 6 for 155 with Talia McGrath not out 43 off 29 deliveries. At the top of the order, Alyssa Healy, the captain, 45 off 29 deliveries. And they've rolled Bangladesh for 78. So a 77-run triumph for the Aussies in that game. And opening bowler Taylor Vlemmick, 4 overs, 3 for 12. Georgia Wareham bowled 1.1 overs, took 2 for 1. And the rest of the bowlers all chipped in with a wicket each. So comfortable victory for the Aussies there. In the NRL last night, it was 34-32 in a wild game there in front of 20,698 at Amy Park. The Melbourne Storm beating the Brisbane Broncos it was a thriller, really. Great game of footy, very entertaining. And in the AFL, gather round started with Melbourne continuing the Adelaide Crows misery to start the season. The Crows are 0-4 in Melbourne. They look pretty good. 15 points, the margin in the end there. And the likes of Christian Petrarca, Max Gorn, Bailey Fritsch, they all stood up. Fritsch kicked 3 goals. So a good start to the season. After a narrow loss to the Swans in round one, Melbourne look like they're going to contend, Loz. Very did you have them in the four teams you mentioned yesterday as part of the
contenders? I certainly did.
Yeah, sure.
Yep. Two Sydney teams, Carlton and Melbourne. They were the four.
Geelong?
Not a bad team. Very good team. Just they do well, Geelong, just to keep there or thereabouts. Mm. Lost some good players. Dangerfield didn't play last week against Hawthorn. But their senior players, they just do so well, and they get a good mixture of kids coming through. So the formula works for the Cats. But I tell you what, if anything happened to Maxi Gawn, Melbourne would be in some trouble.
Yeah, he's a gun and their spiritual leader as well. Now, tonight in the AFL, Brisbane and North Melbourne, that game kicking off at 10 past 5 Eastern Daylight Time on Fox Footy. Brisbane are $1.13, North Melbourne $6. So the Lions looking for their first win of the season and being 38.5-point favourites, they're expected to do so. And then the other, I guess, main event as far as the South Australian teams are concerned for the weekend. Port Adelaide are $1.24 up against Essendon at $4.10. And 25.5 is the line there. The Bombers, the plus. And as far as team news for the rest of the weekend is concerned, well, Damien Hardwick, he's dropped six players. The Gold Coast Suns, they've got GWS. And Taylor Adams will debut for the Swans. He'd make his club debut, the former Collingwood player. And the Swans are expected to pretty much lap the West Coast Eagles once again. They're 54.5-point favourites at the line, the Swans. 60.5, so that's gone up. They're now $1.02 head-to-head. I mean, that is ridiculous. $1.02, the West Coast Eagles, $13. Of course, the margin in that contest was 171 points last year. We got Joshy Reynolds in with us this morning with Pup over there in the Indian Premier League. And there was a text here I wanted to read you in regards to your beloved Bulldogs. Joshy?
Beloved.
Adrian at Castle Hill. I fear that Canterbury are facing yet another failed season with their only win over a woeful Titans whose performance was the worst I'd seen by any team in the last 5 years. Do you agree that there has to be personnel and positional changes? Asks Adrian at Castle Hill. And I see they got the Roosters tonight. And I know for the club as well, it's a 20-year reunion. Mm. I think of the 2004 Premiership side, the Mems. They're $3.90 outsiders. The Roosters $1.26 or minus 10.5 at the line with Tab. Cameron Serrato yesterday, grubby. Responding to rumours that he and Phil Gould aren't seeing eye to eye, he says they have robust conversations every day. Serrato's adamant he is picking the team and not Gus, and while they often disagree on things, everything's sweet. He also reiterated his belief in Drew Hutchison, who faces his old club. And Trent Robinson was asked about Drew Hutchison yesterday as well. Who said he is a genuine half. Robinson talking about his former player there in Hutchison. But this is, well, the weather. With the weather tonight, you know, you always say the wet sort of evens things up a bit, but the Roosters forward pack are going to have to be dealt with.
Absolutely. They are one of the meanest, brutal forward packs that you come up against. And the Roosters, they'll be going for, you know, the jugular tonight. But in saying that, there's always going to be reports when things aren't going well, Mido, and when you're not winning. But for us tonight, it's just about going out there and just sticking it to them. We have to. You know, we come off a loss on Good Friday last week, and probably a game we could have won, if we're honest. And the boys are just going to have to dig in. It's going to be a hard game. I don't care what anyone says. Whenever you come up against the Roosters, it's going to be a tough one. But yeah, with all the positional changes and stuff, and I agree with Robert. That's the thing. You know, everyone can say, oh, Hutchison, you know, he's this, he's that. For me, he's a genuine half, and that's why Ciro's putting him there. Otherwise, why would he have him there? You know, we've got Sexton just waiting there to have a crack. He believes in him, and that's what's going on there at the moment. Yeah. If it isn't going well, and you know, in a couple of weeks or whatever, maybe, you know, you look to give Sexto a crack, and then Hutcho can play the 14 role, because you know he did do that for the Roosters for a couple of years. But yeah, I really would love the boys to come out tonight and just have a really good crack against the Roosters side, who are going to be red hot.
Loz, you're adamant the Dogs are much better this year.
Oh, they got a bit more steel about them. Most definitely, from what I've seen in the opening month. I still think there's a lot of work to be done, and I still think at times their attack is not great. But I'm interested to see how they go tonight against an experienced Roosters team. I like the fact that young Sam Hughes is starting. Mm. He's a big body.
Yep.
Current, I like him starting. Again, he's a guy with good feet. He's reasonable size. I think he deserves an opportunity to start. And I don't really know a lot about the Dogs bench, but I'm assuming they're all forwards, grubby.
Yeah, so
Chris Patolo.
Chris Patolo, Katoni, he's a back rower, and Harry Edwards is a 13. So those two boys, Katoni and Chris Patolo, they've been waiting in the wings for a while for a crack. You'll be very impressed with them, Loz.
Yeah.
Katoni's been watching Viliami for...
big guys.
Katoni's probably not as big as Kicks, but solid, hard to bring down. I played with him last year a little bit in New South Wales Cup. Great back roller to have next year. Protects you, runs a really, really good line. And I can just see he's been watching Kicks a lot. So he's all those little effort kick chase plays and stuff, he's really brought into his game this year.
Yep.
Hence the reason why they brought him into the squad. And Chris Patolo's just a really straight up and down, solid front rower who's got a great carry in him. Very reliable in defence, and these are these young guys that we're talking about that are coming through now, and they're going to get a chance to go up against a amazing Roosters pack who will be, you know, hard to stop. But what an opportunity. Backs against the wall. I've always said, us as a club, I feel whenever that's the case, we come out firing. So hopefully the boys can do that tonight. You know, no one's given us a chance, but this isn't, honestly, even with my Bulldogs hat on, I feel the boys are going to really have a good crack, as you said, in the wet. I think it can hopefully just be a game where we sort of kick them into corners and just wait for them to make some errors.
Hello, Brad. How are you?
Good morning, boys. What about those Jackies, eh?
What a series. And where does that championship series rate in NBL history, Brad?
Yeah, look, it's a great question, and I was lucky enough to be an assistant coach in the year 2003-04, I think it was, where the Sydney Kings played a five-game series against the West Sydney Razorbacks, and that was classed as one of the best series. Now, being in that, being assistant coach, we won it. It was fantastic. This is better, no question. And as painful as that makes me say it, because I was part of that in the championship-winning team, to watch what this team did, both teams actually, I should say, the way it went back and forward, there is no doubt in my mind that what we have just witnessed was the greatest series in NBL history, no question.
Yeah, I mean, remarkable achievement, Brad. And we asked you on the program when it went to Game 4 about Tasmania, and you were very confident in Melbourne United. But the other thing you did say, Melbourne United would win, but then you went Jack Jumpers to repeat what they did in Game 3 in Melbourne. And I thought,
yep.
Geez, Brad's off his head here. They've beaten them once over there. What gave you that confidence? What did they do well, and why did they match up so well?
Well, what I can tell you is I tried that for Powerball last night, but I'm still speaking to you guys. So it meant nothing, right? I have no idea, and it was a guess. But, no, look, what I just felt, I loved what Jack Jumpers did. And, you know, we've spoken about it, and we've all been in sport for so long. You know when it's just a team's time? I just felt it was Tasmania's time. Everything went right for them this year. And the weight of the world looked like it was on Melbourne. And every time they looked like they were going to get going, Tassie just kept fighting and fighting. But I did feel with Tasmania having a game behind them in that Game 4 where Melbourne was like, we're done or bust. I just felt Melbourne were going to win it. But then I thought when all comes to shadow, all comes down and it's Game 5, it was just something that I just thought the Jackies just had that belief in themselves. Their coach is phenomenal. Unbelievable the way they coach. And I just thought they'd get it done. And ironically, they did. But, geez, they played well. God, what a series.
Brad, I'm so interested in what it is about the Jack Jumpers. So new teams obviously come into comps in any sport, and they always seem to struggle. But when you watch the Jack Jumpers, it looks like they found their identity so fast. You just mentioned the coaching or the players. When you compare them to a side like Melbourne United on paper, Melbourne would beat them every day. What is it about the club or the culture that they've got there so fast that make them so good?
I think, well, like, I'm a big believer that it all comes from the top down, so I'm talking coach. Everything revolves from the coach down and the way he's been able to give belief in his players. And the best way I can put it is the Melbourne Storm. Like, it's just the same thing. You know, Bellamy has always had that knack to find players that no one wants and then they turn into superstars. So we talk about a Jack McVeigh who got the MVP for the final series. He was in Adelaide a few years ago and riding the bench. Now, why does a guy like that go from one team to the next and become an absolute superstar? And it's belief from your coach. It's working on the right things and it's putting a structure in place that allows your players to be the best that they can. And you talk to every single player in that club. It's all about, well, it's Jack Jumpers basketball and we're defending the island. Like, it's ingrained in these players and they've just done such a great job. And I remember Brian Gorgian, of course, the greatest coach in NBL history, has always said 80 to 90% of your coaching is done before the game starts. No question. In any sport, you can argue that. And that's what Tasmania Jack Jumpers have done. Absolute amazing effort. We've written them off for 3 years and now they've won it. Everyone said, oh, they're good, but they won't get there. And now they're the NBL champions. Amazing.
What about for the vanquished? Devastating loss for Melbourne United, for coach Dean Vickerman and the likes of Matthew Dellavedova and Chris Golding.
Look, it's tough. And the question now is, what do they do? And the first thing they have to work out is who's around. Brad Newley's retired. There's Ariel Hockporty will put himself in the draft. I thought Luke Travers was great. Will he go to the NBA now because he has got the rights by Cleveland Cavaliers? Maybe they take him. So they've got to determine what's going to happen there. Dele will be back. CG43 will be back. And then they've got some real big pieces that they've got to fill in. But look, they're tough. They put themselves in a position every year to be there. And, you know, sometimes this might, you know, give them that little bit more scope to be able to get to the next step next year.
Free agency is looming, Brad. And I see Angus Glover, though, it looks like he'll still be leaving the Kings and possibly going to the Phoenix. What's the story here?
Yeah, so look, I mean, there was some stuff going on between him and the club at the end of the year. I mean, you go back 12 months ago and he was the face of the program for what he did on one rib, I should say, in that final series. He's been great. He played some good games this year. There was talk of a little bit of conflict between him and one of the players or something. Don't know what really went down there. And next thing you know, he didn't play the last few games. And there was no doubt he was, and I said it on air, there's no way he'll be there next year, meaning, you know, obviously next season, if the coach stays. Well, then the coach moved on, and then I thought, okay, well, Brian Gorgian will come in, the new coaching staff, he may stay, but obviously no. He's turned around and he said he wants it's a mutual agreement from what we can understand. It's not official yet, but it looks like he'll be signing with the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. And he will go down there, and that's a big signing for them. Also, Nathan Sobey from the Brisbane Bullets, who was in the All-NBL second team, he's been released out of his contract from Brisbane, and he's going down to Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. So some big moves already in the NBL.
What's Mitch Creek doing then?
Yeah, great question. So there's talk. He's still contracted, but as we know, contracts don't mean much. There is a lot of talk that they will move from him and that'll be a mutual agreement and he may go either overseas or to another team. And it looks like just the Phoenix, I don't think it's anything sort of against what Mitch Krieg has done. I think it's more just, we've got to go in a different direction. We've had it for a number of years. It hasn't worked and we're cleaning house and starting again. So watch this space. It'll be interesting to see if they've got Glover and Mitch Krieg and Sobey. I don't think so. I think they'll move on Mitch and then they'll go for new imports as well.
Brad, onto the NBA. Paddy Mills doesn't seem to be getting many minutes now. Miami are getting their stars back. Is this a problem for him, mate?
Yeah, it is. And it's such a shame because I think out of Boston and Milwaukee, I don't think anyone else can compete with the West except Miami. They're just one team. I love them, Jimmy Buckets. And when that team plays, they hum. And I really thought Paddy was going to play a nice role in here. He had good minutes and he was shooting the ball well and playing. So it's a real shame. And then obviously we added the fact that the, you know, Paris Olympics are coming up and we want him to play. But look, you never want to wish injury or anything to go on, but you just never know in the NBA. Something can happen and the next thing you know, he's playing 20 minutes a game. So let's hope for his sake he can get some minutes back.
Caitlin Clark, have you seen anything like it?
Oh, my God. What a freak. And I'm saying that in the absolute perfect way of a basketballer. What an unbelievable basketball she is. I watched her the other day playing LSU and had 40 points from like 8 or 10 threes or whatever. I don't think we'll ever witness anything like this in the female sport, what she's about to do. And I see that she's been offered for the 3-on-3. If she goes to the NBA next year or the WNBA, I think she gets like $75,000. The owner of the 3-on-3 comp has offered her $5 million. Come and play with me. So she is going to be an absolute unbelievable. She keeps going down this there. No question, she'll be the goat of women's basketball.
Yeah, she's incredible. Mate, thank you so much once again.
Well, now we've got to go on to the NBA, and who are we going to go? Go the Lakers!
Oh, please. Thank you, Brad Rosen.
We're not going James Harden, are we?
Middle. Absolutely no chance.
Have a good week,
mate,
boys.
You have a good weekend. Thank you. Deliciously flaky pastry on top. A bottom which is rolled extra thin. A filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. I'm talking about Garlo's pies. The only pies you should be putting on your plate. And Garlo's pies are simply bursting with flavour. There's heaps of flavours to choose from. Here's a thought. Take a night off from cooking and grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. And remember, we are located in the chilled meals section. If you can't find us, just ask for Garlo's pies by name. Garlo's pies, they're thin on pastry. They're big on meat. Joining us is Ali Mosley from Sky Racing. How are you, Ali?
I'm good, Mido, but what I want is to know how bad that rain is out there.
Well, Michael Wood, about half an hour ago, told us that there's been about 45 mil since 9 a.m. yesterday. And as it stands, he expects us to be racing tomorrow based on all his information. Obviously, that can change.
Great.
But he's optimistic we'll be racing tomorrow. But yeah,
and he thinks there'll be more sunshine than expected tomorrow.
Mm.
So, great. What we like to hear. Well, that's positive news for a Friday morning.
Yep. So we'll run with that as it stands. So naturally do your wet track form, though. But let's start with the Doncaster. And can't wait to see this another wheel in action again. It's a $3.70 chance. The best backed in the market, though, is Celestial Legend on the second line of betting. At $8 with Tab. Militarise is popular at $9. The Golden Eagle winner, Obamburamai, at $9.50. And Lady Laguna, who's been flying, a $10 chance, 17 and longer the rest. I mean, you can find angles left, right, and centre. What is yours, Ali?
I guess what makes it such an interesting Doncaster, as it always is, and such a strong addition this year, I'm keen to go around another wheel. I feel Celestial Legend is the real deal, as we've talked about all preparation. All the chat from the stable, one of the guys who rides in was telling me, if anything, he just felt like he'd improved since that win at Randwick in the Guineas. But I'm actually going around sort of all of the shorties at the moment. I'm sticking with Southport Tycoon. So Rachel King aboard with 49 kilos. I guess the only query is the heavy, but 1 from 1 on a soft track so far. He's had a tick over trial up here at Randwick on the soft ground, and at Warwick Farm, and he just skipped over the ground. So I feel as though that's a good push for him. I think he's perhaps the overlooked horse. He's $17 at the moment, so we get him each way. Drew Wide, along with his stable mate, the favourite, another wheel. But I think maybe by that part of the day, it won't be a bad thing to be off the fence anyway. So I'm pretty keen on Southport Tycoon. And then Kovalika, I thought, was another one you could have something on each way. And he is, I think, $19 at the moment. So I'm keen on those two. But it is one of those races where anything goes at this point, particularly with this weather.
What about in the TJ Smith, Al?
I like Bella Nipotina, so obviously I concede that Imperatriz is the one to beat. I wish I win, coming back in nice order, and he's got that form on the board. So I think both of those are tough tasks to get past. James McDonald, of course, now with the ride there aboard. I wish I win, but he is one that will handle a heavy track. He skipped over that heavy ground there when he won, beating Giga Kick and Marzu on a heavy 9. This was pretty much virtually this time last year, I think it was now. And, of course, over 1,200 will suit him because it'll be run, I guess, essentially as a 1,400-metre race, which I think will be even more beneficial to him. But Bella Nipotina, I'm really keen to follow her. She's $12 each way at the moment. I think it maps well for her. I think she will absolutely relish this heavy track, and it just sets up well for her. So she's the one for me there at $12.
The Derby Riff Rocket, favourite at $3.10. The Philly Zardozi, which Loz has to win in his multi, by the way, $3.60. Mm-hmm. Coming in for plenty of support as well. Tom Kitten's at $8. Cho Wolf for Joe Pride's popular as well. Red result at the book at Tab as it stands, an $8.50 chance. How do you see the Derby?
I'm really keen on Zardozi backing up. I think she's the one to beat. But Cho Wolf is a horse I've followed all prep now and previous preparations as well. I remember black booking him really early on when he first stepped out, and Joe Pride saying at the time, this is a really handy horse and I'm not going to burst his bubble early. So he took his time with him. He didn't push him forward early. He knew that he was aiming him up at these Derby trips. We see him at 2,400 for the first time, but he's by Tavistock. So obviously he will enjoy not only the trip, but also getting his toe in the ground, as he will be able to tomorrow. So I'm keen on Zardozi, but Chao Wolf, who I think I've had on this show as well the last three times he's run, finally stepping out to a very winnable distance for him over 24, and I think he's $9 at the moment each way.
Ali, the English Sires will see a Golden Slipper replay between Stormboy and Lady of Camelot. Can you see anything else beating these two horses?
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? I'm a big fan of Prost, I think, stepping out over the trip here. I want Stormboy to win, though. I think it would be exciting. I think we all want to see a champ. I think, you know, things went wrong for him in the Golden Slipper, whether that was his fault and he missed the kick or circumstances and he had to go back to the inferior part of the track. But he's trialled on a heavy track before and he seemed to get through it pretty well. He's a big, heavy horse. So that's perhaps my only query, but I really like the fact that he has trialled on what actually came up as a soft five, but a lot of the jockeys that were out there that morning were suggesting that it was closer to the heavy range. So I'm hoping that that stands him in good form for this. So I think Stormboy, the one I'm keen on, but Prost at $26. Again, I think his run in the Golden Slipper whilst he read 13 of 16 on paper was a lot more meritorious than that. And stepping out to 1,400 is a trip I think he looks like he's been crying for. Again, it maps better for him, and he's the one I like each way.
Have you got anything else on the program, Al?
Well, hopefully. I like one in the last race, actually. So there's a couple I'm looking at here. The first is Christilli. She's come into about $7. She was $9 yesterday. So perhaps we've missed a bit of our value there. But I actually am really keen on August Bloom, who's a $41 chance at the moment, second emergency. But given that I dare say we're going to have a deluge of scratchings on race morning or between now and 7:30 tomorrow morning, I just really want to have something on her. She's resuming. She's had a really eye-catching recent trial. I know they had a huge opinion of her. Obviously, early days, she was running in a lot of those handy two-year-old races and just didn't perhaps quite come to fruition last prep. She came up against Tis Invincible and the like. So she's one who I think will hopefully handle the ground. She's won on a soft six previously. So I'm hoping that she should be able to get through it being by more than ready. So August Bloom at $41 is my each-way play of the day.
Well, at the moment, $61 and 13 in the place with Tab. August Bloom. We'll take that every day of the week, Ali. So, okay, so I'll just recap. So your Doncaster bets, you're backing both Southport Tycoon and Kovalika. That's race 8, number 20 and number 7, Southport Tycoon and Kovalika. In the TJ, race 7, you like number 9, Bella Di Patina, $12.350 the place. In the Derby, race 9, number 3, Cho Wolf, which is $8.50 and $2.60, win and place with Tab. And in the English size, race 6, number 4, you like Prost each way, $26 to win, $5 the place. And in the last, race 10, number 20, August Bloom, an each way bet, $61 to win and $13 the place.
We're going to go home rich or broke tomorrow from the races, I think.
I like the sound of rich. We'll take the glass half full. Ali, you have a fantastic day, and thank you so much for your mail this morning.
Thanks, guys.